FM Marshfield, WMEX Quincy, WBMS Brockton, and Translator W266DA Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
This is a WATD political forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
TV political forum. The town is Plymouth. The race is for select board. I'm Christine James, your moderator, asking questions along with me tonight, Charles Mathewson. Now, there are seven candidates running for this seat. You've got incumbents Betty Cavaco and John Mahoney, along with Alan Costello, Kevin Lynch, Everett Malagudi, and Frank Mand, and Dickie Quinto. We'll let the voters know where they stand on the issues. Now, everyone is here. We've got, actually, Betty, I'm just looking at you on an iPad. Hello. Because we've got her on Zoom here. Dick Quinto had a family emergency and was not able to attend, but all the other candidates are here in studio. We have all been sanitized, at least 6 feet apart, Lysol, so we are just being very careful about this. This is the first forum we've done since before the start of the pandemic in March, so you folks are the guinea pigs, and we appreciate you coming out tonight. And we are in phase two, so we thought this would be a good time to do it. Now, if you're familiar with the format that we use here on WATD, we've asked the candidates to have opening statements, no longer than 2 minutes, please, prepared, and closing statements as well. Those are 1 minute. We'll ask the candidates a round of questions. They have 1 minute to answer. The lightning round is next. That's our favorite part. The answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences. We find anyone running for office or holding office has difficulty with this, so we enjoy that very much. Now, we chose opening and closing order out of the stand-in official newsroom koozie because the old one disappeared at the end of the last election season. Please return it. No questions are asked. Now, when we pulled the order a little bit earlier, thank you very much. That was Charles Mathewson and our own Amy Leonard there, who is timing. She's the lady with the red, green, and yellow cards. Candidates know green means go, yellow means you've got 10 seconds, and red means stop. Usually give you a 5 second grace period, then you get the bell. So the order will be Betty Cavaco, then John Mahoney, then Alan Costello, then Kevin Lynch, then Frank Mand, and then Everett Malagudi, and we will reverse that order at the end. So any questions from any of the candidates here? See a lot of eager looks on their faces.
When's the Kingston event coming up?
That one about 3 hours?
We're just sticking to Plymouth tonight.
I'm sorry, Christine.
But thank you very much. That was John Mahoney. He couldn't help himself. Okay, so we're going to go with the order here. We're going to go with Betty Cavaco. Good evening, Betty, and welcome to our candidates forum.
Hi, everyone. Hi, how are you? Hi, my name is Betty Cavaco. I am the mother of two amazing boys, Ethan and Zachary, who now attend Plymouth North High School. And I am married to Chris, who is a wonderful husband and amazing father. I have called Plymouth my home for as long as I can remember. I grew up on Whitehorse Beach where my parents owned a small business called Costa's Market. I started working for Boston Edison as a contractor the summer I got out of high school in 1979. I then accepted a permanent position at the Prudential Center in Boston in 1983. And after my father died in 1987, I returned to Pilgrim Station so I could be close to home with my mother. I stayed at Pilgrim with Entergy for over 30 years. I became involved in town politics when the town wanted to close the after-school program at the Manomet Youth Center. Within a few short months, the nonprofit was formed, which is now called Plymouth Youth Foundation. I ran for selectman in 2015 and that was unsuccessful. And after that run, I decided that I had to learn as much as I could if I was ever going to be able to make a difference. I was appointed to the Advisory and Finance Committee, where I learned exactly how this town operated, and it was one of the best experiences I had. I am now a sitting selectman. I am looking for your vote in my reelection. The reason why I believe that I am different than anyone else is that I am accessible. I am just like most of the residents, living paycheck to paycheck, and trying to make a good life for our children and our community. Communication is the key in every aspect of a person's life, and I communicate with our residents every day. I am convinced I have spoken to all 63,000 residents that we have. The most important thing for me as an elected official is I want people to know that they are being heard, and I am certain that I have achieved that.
Thank you very much. That was Betty Cavaco. Thank you. And now we're going to go to John Mahoney.
Thank you, Christine and Charlie and WATD for hosting this event. My name is John Mahoney. It's an honor for me to be here. I'm seeking re-election to the Plymouth Select Board. I've been on the board for 12 years. Prior to that, I was a member of Finance and Advisory, town meeting member from Precinct 3, currently employed as an elevator mechanic, Local 4. And my son, Christian, unfortunately, has seen the last 60 to 90 days of his eighth grade education at PCIS be put on hiatus. First got elected to the select board back in 08. I promised that we would do things differently. We would look for efficiencies in government. We would look to ways where we could handle the tax dollar in a more efficient way, delivering more services without obviously overburdening the taxpayer. Working collaboratively with colleagues on the board, FinCom and town meeting members, we have eliminated double taxation, which means that all of the enterprise funds are self-sufficient as of fiscal year 13. We, as of 2017, the auto excise tax, the roads tax, is now properly being invested in roads, reducing debt, increasing public safety. We have invested in the downtown. We constructed, in my opinion, probably the most conservative piece of infrastructure in New England today is the new town hall in Plymouth Center. $54 million done without raising one penny on anyone's property taxes. We have seen the best audits in the community's history in the last 5 to 7 years, and this has manifested itself in a bond upgrade from the rating agencies on Wall Street, Standard & Poor's and Moody's. We've gone from a AA to a AA+. The other thing that I've advocated for, not only breaking the cycle of 365-day thinking, and thinking long-term and responsibly in a disciplined manner with money, is stop the practice of vilifying our public employees. I think too often in the 365-day cycle, they are blamed for all the financial ills of communities, and that's got to stop.
Thank you very much. That was John Mahoney with his opening statement. Now we're going to go to Ellen Costello.
Yes, good evening. I would like to thank WATD for hosting this forum. I appreciate the opportunity to introduce myself to the Plymouth voter. My name is Alan Costello. I am a candidate for Select Board this upcoming Saturday, June 20th. I'm 58 years old and have been a full-time resident for the last 40 years. My wife, Carol, and I live in the West Plymouth section of town. We have 4 grown children and just recently welcomed our first grandchild, Phoenix May. I have owned and operated a telecommunications company, Netcom Wireless Facilities, for the last 30 years in town. In 2014, I was elected as a town meeting member representing Precinct 10. Then in 2015, I was voted by my precinct members to a position on the Committee of Precinct Chairs. 2018, I was nominated and voted in as chairman of the Committee of Precinct Chairs, a position I hold today. As a town meeting member, I have built a reputation as an advocate for the taxpayer, frequently asking tough questions of town management in an effort to ensure that all expenditures are warranted and in the best interest of the taxpayer. I assure you, this philosophy will be continued at the next level. The promise of lowering your property taxes is disingenuous. However, I can assure you that any new tax or increase of tax will be heavily scrutinized. The age-old tax and spend mentality of town management must be stopped immediately, especially in these difficult times. Another of my interests has been addressing the huge problem plaguing our town buildings. And although spending monies run counter to my goals, money spent early to maintain our 32 public buildings is far more affordable than when the lack of building maintenance becomes a crisis. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Alan Costello with his opening statement. And now we're going to go to Kevin Lynch. Good evening.
Yes, good evening. Thank you very much for hosting this, as Mr. Mahoney said. And I'd like to say I have been in Plymouth for 17 years, so I would call myself a relative newbie. So I'm coming in somewhat objectively to the town. And the thing that has really struck me, because I have been involved in town government for the past 6 years, the Advisory and Finance Committee, back in 2014 and 15, and as well as a town meeting member the past 5 years. I'm also, by the way, a retired high school science teacher, 36 years. So I know a little bit about research. And as I'm reading my notes here, I have up here, it's I really don't envy those people that are in the position of selectmen. There's not a lot of credit at times given to them, and I'd like to be able to go and have that be touted a little bit more. But yet at the same time is that there's three words I'm running on: transparency, accountability, and integrity. The unfortunate part is that, again, through the 6 years, it's been very difficult getting a lot of information out and communicated. I can't tell you how many times I've been frustrated and I throw my hands up when people are asking me questions, and all I can say, I'll do the best I can. Real quick, though, one of the things I'd like to have it really have people resonate with is a saying I have here: a job is better done inspected rather than expected. And the public officials, myself included, we should be accountable to what we are really going to be putting out there. So I ask that you would consider that the job is better done inspected rather than expected. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Kevin Lynch, and now we're going to go to Frank Mand.
Hello, I'm Frank Mand, candidate for select person. Do something different. That's my campaign theme. Elect someone different, yes, but do something different. My oldest son was on a hockey team when he was very young, and one of the parents used to yell out from the stands, "Do something, Jonathan." He meant make a play, steal the puck, check your opponent, take a shot. Or as Celtics broadcaster Johnny Most used to say, stop fiddling and diddling. Even though our master plan's main objective is to stop sprawl, successive boards have just let it happen. I would simply insist we follow that plan. We keep seeing ugly buildings going up, blocking views, destroying our character. I'd put teeth into the regulations of our village steering committees. Why do we have so many massive parking lots? What a waste of valuable commercial property. And whether we agree on the need for budget cuts, I think we can all agree what our priorities are. We need to do something now. We need to make a play, take a shot. When I was Little League president, I heard coaches tell their players, you can't get a hit unless you take the bat off your shoulder. We need to get up to the plate and swing. That's how I differentiate myself from my opponents. I'm going to do something. That's why I'm asking voters on June 20th to do something different. Elect Frank Mand. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Frank Mann. You've heard from all the candidates here tonight, except, as we told you, Dickie Quintle had a family emergency. Oh, I'm sorry. Everett Malagudi, I'm sorry. Opening statement, sorry.
Good evening. Thank you for letting us have this lively debate tonight. My name is Everett Malagudi. I am a resident of North Plymouth and a 10-year town meeting representative from Precinct 1. I have enjoyed my entire life in Plymouth, being raised here by two loving parents and a vast Italian and Portuguese family. I have a lot of experience within town meeting as being a vocal person for change within our fiscal responsibility that in most times is lacking within the town. As many have said before, the tax and spend mentality that the town has had for many years that seems to be unchecked. I am an advocate of having the taxpayer at the seat of the table all the time at all negotiations and all spending plans or budget cuts. It needs to be a proactive approach, and it needs to be done with unilateral support and not having a vacancy at the table, which at many times is the taxpayer. I love the town with all my heart. I've been I was a 2006 graduate of Plymouth North before the new school was built with a $199 million debt exclusion. That brought my attention toward town politics and my chance to run in 2010. And fortunately, I was successful in that, and I've had a long stint on town meeting ever since then advocating for the taxpayers. I believe that responsibility doesn't just lie fiscally, it relies with the person enacting the policies in the town, and I will bring that tenacity and that effect to the taxpayers now and into the future as a candidate for a select board, and I hope you vote for me on June 20th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Everett Malagudi. Now let's start our questions, and let's start with our Charles Mathewson. Question for the candidates.
You know, Christine, we do these for towns all over the South Shore, Brockton to Wareham to Quincy. I reside in Plymouth, and when I look at our town, it's become very complex. It's probably the most diverse town in the region other than Brockton, the city of Brockton. We have a population of more than 60,000, and it's growing. We have a town budget of nearly $250 million, and it's growing. So I have a little bit of a complex question, but believe me, it's only a quarter as complex as the questions that will be facing the two candidates who will be elected next week. Incumbents, I will ask the challengers a question and then a follow-up for you. And the follow-up question I'm going to give you right now. The follow-up question is, one, please respond to something specific that one of the or more of the challengers said. Two, you may talk about something that you regret from the last 3 years. And all three, talk about something you're proud of in the last from the last 3 years. I see John writing this down. That's good. All right, challengers, here's the question for you. In the last 3 years, what's something you wish the select board had done that they didn't do? Or, in the last 3 years, what's something they did that you wish they hadn't? Has everyone got that? Who wants to go first?
You decide, Charlie.
Yes, as soon as you said that...
That's Kevin Lynch.
Speaking, as soon as you said that, I thought of just recently, and I've been advocating this, and I says, please do it, and it's been very frustrating. And that is to communicate and educate the citizens of Plymouth. Very similar to even the state politicians. It's almost like the citizens are just told to just stay over there. We know better because we were elected. Communication education is important, and Lynn Barrett said that in a combined meeting with the advisory and finance, the select board, as well as the school committee there. And Mr. Tavares actually went up afterwards at the podium and said, we need to communicate and educate better the citizens of Plymouth because of the financial situation we're in right now. And I went up to the podium and I said the same thing. And I have a subject that I'd like to go and talk about that we need to go and educate and communicate to the citizens. Very, very important. Sorry, not enough time. Take care.
Okay, let's go to Frank Mand. And the question is, what in the last 3 years is something you wish the select board had done or wish they hadn't?
Well, I think we can go back 15 years when the town came up with what was clearly a well-thought-out, constituent-based master plan. It was 15 years ago, or more than that, 16 years ago, 2004, I believe, that it was published. It was a blueprint for getting to where we want to go as a community. But again, it was written 15 years ago. So in any of those years, I would have hoped the town would have taken that plan seriously. I would have hoped they would have put the pages and the various core elements of it on every manual for every type of board, whether it was ZBA or planning board or finance board. So this is what we want to do. This is where we want to go. This is what the residents said we should do. Let's go for it. For example, the number one core value of that plan is control sprawl. I mean, it just hasn't happened. We've just been sprawling out. As a matter of fact, the Pine Hills was happening then, and Redbrook is happening now. We basically have planted sprawl out in the woods. It said protect the environment. Well, we've done a better job there, but we have so much environment, so many wonderful things. Not enough for that.
Excuse me one second. Just remember, if you feel like there's an important question that you're answering and you didn't get to say everything that you think our listeners need to hear, you can also use some of that in your final statement as long as you don't go over. Just letting you know. You can save up your good stuff. Charlie?
Everett Malaguti, the question is, in the last 3 years, and I choose 3 years because that's the most recent term that the incumbents have served, what would you wish that the select board had done that they didn't, or something that they did that you would prefer they hadn't?
Well, it's sort of a mixed question. I would say it's a little bit of both. What I wish that they had done and haven't done at the same time is created a strong maintenance plan for the town. The school has a vast maintenance side that they control the care of their buildings and the upkeep as well as the personnel within their department. The town tried implementing that and has somewhat, in a way, failed at keeping or even retaining a newly created department to maintain all the buildings that are paid by taxpayer dollars and to keep the taxpayer dollars as efficiently spent as possible and to keep everyone, including the employees of those buildings, safe. I know that there's been some upkeep and maintenance that has been done, but not anything on the vast scale that needs to be done to keep up with a burgeoning town and workforce that's so vital to this community.
Alan Costello, have you got the question?
I do, and I'm going to tag along with Mr. Malaguti. I think it's the biggest thing that stands out is the supermajority of the selectmen really let the taxpayer, the resident, down when they totally were silent on the facilities management problem. The town meeting put together a facilities department, funded it, went out, the town hired some people. Today, that department is a skeleton crew. Those people are no longer there. The select board, when we asked them to be the top of the organizational chart, make some tough decisions, were silent. The vast majority, 4 out of 5, had nothing they wanted to do about it, and it was very discouraging to be sitting back as a taxpayer and see the little bit of traction that we had started to gather totally go by the wayside. Very disappointed in the select board in that. Thank you.
Okay, and now to the incumbents. John. Do you want to respond to something that one of the challengers said or express a regret or something you're proud about?
So radio show about 5 months ago down the Cape, I inadvertently said something reflecting a wrong position of our police captains in chief. So whether or not I win this election, I owe all three of them dinner. Okay. Proud of the single most conservative capitalist piece of infrastructure in New England today is the Plymouth Town Hall. Zero increase in property taxes. I stood in that building 3 years ago, surrounded by 12 Republican and Democratic state reps and state senators for a press conference, and they approached myself and Mr. Tavares asking us for permission to go back to their districts and tell them what we had done here. I've been invited to other communities to educate them as to how you can get these things done without raising property taxes. That is it. With respect to the facilities, Alan's statement is completely off base. We had a major investigation. We hired a pretty reputable retired state police officer. There was a complete investigation.
We can go back to that another time.
Okay, Betty, do you want me to repeat the question?
Yes, please.
What in the last 3 years? No. Would you like to respond to one of the challengers? Do you want to say what you're most proud of, or do you want to express a regret over the last 3 years?
Can I do both?
You can do whatever you want, but you have to do it within a minute.
Okay. I think what I'm most proud of for myself is that we've really opened up communication lines to our residents. But one of the things that I'm really not proud of is, you know, within the past couple of years, we have lost some really great people that have come to work for the town of Plymouth and have quickly exited. And there's never been anyone that has asked the hard questions as to why. I know why all the people left, and I've said my piece of it, but nothing was really done about it. So I'm really disappointed. Our facilities are terrible, and we have no accountability. And in my world, that just can't happen.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Betty. Any follow-ups with that?
Nope.
Okay. Use of force with local police departments. That's a question that's a national one right now. I'm going to have a several-part question here. What needs are not to be done, need what needs or does not need to be done statewide when it comes to policing? What about locally? Do you think Plymouth has a problem with use of force? I'm going to ask you to be specific about what defunding means to you or reallocating of resources, what it means to you. I'm just giving you kind of a general because I'm going to get very, very specific. So my first question will be, and I'm going to follow up with each one of you, do you think that there's a problem locally with use of force with the Plymouth Police Department specifically? I'm going to start with you, Alan.
I would tell you at this time, no. And I think they proved that a week ago where the town held a protest, a peaceful protest in the waterfront area, Brewster Gardens. The police were applauded as to how they handled the situation, both leading up to the event, during the event, and after the event. I certainly look at the police department's budget, and I scrutinize it. But at the end of the day, I think the Plymouth resident should be very comfortable with the police force. Thank you very much.
Okay, let me ask you the second part. Do you think that there should be any defunding with that department or reallocating of resources for Plymouth?
I'm going to tell you no at this time. I'll beat the police department up all the time for new capital projects or expenditures. But as it sits there today, I don't think you can go in there and cherry pick some monies to pull away from the police department and not see an impact. I would tell you at this time, I would leave the police department 100% alone.
Okay. Can you specifically name two police officers in Plymouth who are not the captains or the chief?
I used to be able to, but right now I probably cannot under the gun, no.
Okay. I'm going to go over next to Kevin Lynch. Same question. Do you think the town of Plymouth has a problem with use of force?
Not at all. That's as simple as I can make it, you know? I mean, I have been in contact with them various times, and I think they're very, very professional. Very impressed with the chief, and I had my own little dealings with it, like I said, and I'm just amazed at how professional they are.
What about reallocating funds or defunding anything in the Plymouth Police Department?
Not at all. Same thing. I'm almost echoing what Alan said, and if anything, as he's talking, I'm almost saying, geez, they deserve more. And the more you can give them, the more comfortable and more supportive they will feel that the people of Plymouth have behind them, and they're going to be a little more relaxed. I'm speaking also from experience as a high school science teacher. I'll tell you, I am so glad I am retired because of the fact is the pressure on teachers. And all I was looking for was support from the administration. Unfortunately, I didn't get, even though I did mess up because of the fact is I am human, police are human. And I would not want to jump down on anybody's throat and give the time to be able to go and have them state their case.
Okay. Can you name two police officers in the town besides the chief and the captains?
No, and because I haven't had enough dealings with them.
Okay. All right. Same question over here. Frank Mann, what do you think? Do you think that there's a problem with use of force in the town of Plymouth with the police?
I've lived in Plymouth probably close to 40 years, and I have seen a change. I have seen a change in the tenor and the attitude, and I think the professionalism of the police in Plymouth. It's improved gradually and continually, and so I would say that right now I'm not aware. I think that what's happening right now across the country, across the state, is we're giving more scrutiny to these issues. And I think we should scrutinize our own police department. Maybe there are some bad apples in there, but I'm not aware of them. And most of my dealings in the last 10, 15 years have been very upbeat with the police.
What about any reallocation of funding, any defunding that they've been calling for in some of the states, some of the cities of the police department?
Well, I've been hearing a lot of talk about it. I've heard about a California city that had a public safety department instead of a police department, instead of a fire department. I think those things are very interesting. I think whatever you call it, though, what you want is a department that's capable of instilling in every resident's confidence that if they're in need of assistance, it'll be rendered without consideration of their wealth or status or ethnicity or color. It may be that we have that right now, though. I've seen also Chief Bottieri in action on many levels. One of the things that he's had his department do, which is very progressive, is in dealing with the opioid crisis. Instead of having his officers treating it always as a criminal behavior, they understand it as an illness, and they do a lot to emphasize treatment over incarceration. So I think that is the kind of thing you want to see in a police department or a public safety department, whatever you call it. And I think we should move in that direction, and I think he's been very progressive in that regard.
And can you name two officers besides the chief and the captains?
I could joke and say Sullivan and Sullivan. That used to be the case, but but no, I probably could. Under pressure right now, I can't think of, and I've luckily not had any dealings with them personally either.
You're listening to 95.9 FM WATD, the South Shore's news and information station. This is a political forum, the candidates for the Plymouth Select Board. We're going to break for a minute, hear a few commercials, and be right back.
WATD FM Marshfield, WMEX Quincy, WBMS Brockton, and Translator W266DA Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, Chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
I'm Peter from Tiny and Sons Glass.
I'm Eddie from Tiny and Sons Glass.
My brother is usually on the road.
My brother is usually in the shop.
My brother is a certified National Glass Technician.
My brother is a certified National Glass Technician.
All glass technicians are not created equal.
Hey, Dad, which son is better?
Yeah, what son is better, Dad?
I hold this truth to be self-evident. My boys know no equal.
He's really smooth.
He's really smooth.
Windshield broken? 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
Invest your time in listening to Cape Retirement Radio and learn a smarter approach to investing so you can protect your future. Cape Retirement Radio, featuring Chris Letond, Thursday nights at 6:15 and Sunday mornings at 10 on 95.9 WATD.
Hey, it's John Shea here from Almost Famous Radio, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England every Tuesday night, 8 to 10, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass. Tomorrow night, we have another full show in store for you, tons of new music and upcoming shows to let you know about. And we'll be joined on the Tiny stage by Christian Montgomery and the Winter Kill Band. That's tomorrow, 8 to 10, right here on 95.9 WATD and 95.9WATD.com.
WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
Thank you very much. I am Christine James, your moderator. The race is for Select Board in Plymouth. Charles Mathewson asking questions with me. Amy Leonard doing the timing here. Larry Nelson, our operations manager and engineer, making sure everything sounds good. Of course, Ben's up there too, pulling those wires and buttons upstairs to make sure we're bringing you everything. We've got six of the seven candidates here tonight answering questions. And right before the break, we were asking a question about use of force in the town of Plymouth. And we're going to continue with that question. So now I'm going to go to Betty Cavaco. Betty, do you think that the Plymouth Police Department has a problem with use of force?
Absolutely not. And what some folks may not know is that our police department, the Mass Police Accreditation Commission, just fully accredited our department. All the policies are designated as best practices throughout the Commonwealth, as well as consistent with the federal standards for policies, you know, such as use of force, pursuits, etc. So I'm very pleased with our police department.
So what about defunding or reallocating of resources with the Plymouth Police Department? Do you agree with any part of that? Do you think that that should be looked at?
Absolutely not. I think they're doing a good job. And I think the path that we're going in is where we should be. And as Mr. Costello said, you know, the proof was in the pudding with the protests, the peaceful protests with all our officers a couple weeks ago.
What about, can you name two police officers besides the captain and the chief?
You want more than two or just two?
Oh, just two. You'll be the first one that's been able to do it.
Okay, Tom Kelly, Bob Shaw, Scott Becky, Jamie LeBreton, Mark Manfredi, Theo Larson. Okay.
Thank you. Extra points for Betty Cavaco tonight. All right, thank you very much. Going to go to... There you go. Sure. John Mahoney, same question. Do you think Plymouth police have a problem with use of force?
No, I don't. And I can tell you, within the last decade, there was an incident with violence against an individual. And I can tell you right now, Chief Boteri and the two captains, there was a top-to-bottom review of the incident. That individual lost his job. They take it very seriously, and they are objective, and they're going to come down on the side of the responsible law enforcement officer. Okay? One of the things I'm proudest of is a week ago Thursday night, I attended the vigil. You know, there was a lot of passionate people that night, but Mike Boteri got up and made a speech in Brewster Gardens that night with respect to the incident out in Minnesota. So, and if you read the statement that he put out, it was pretty impressive. So, and I called him personally to thank him for that.
Okay, and what about, so, reallocation of funds, defunding, think any of that should be changed or looked
at? In the fall of 18, we went to fall town meeting with 21 incremental public safety positions, 12 firefighters, which 65% of the funding over 3 years was picked up by a safer federal grant, and then 9 incremental police officers. I called Mike up and I told him personally, I said, philosophical disagreement, I don't think you need the incremental 9. He respected my position. I was told that I couldn't do that by multiple people because I would lose points politically, okay? So it's about 65,000 people in 104 square miles. Where do you find that balance with the level of manpower and human resources using the proper techniques to police the community? Okay, and we have the point person there. You've got 2 very talented captains. You've got one of the best chiefs probably in the state. And, you know, and I will say this aside, they're not adequately paid, the patrolmen. But that's an issue for another day.
Okay, so name 2 police officers besides the captains and the chiefs.
I had Vecchi, Higgins, and Kelly, LeBreton, Manfredi, and Bonacera.
Okay. Now spell them. No, I'm just kidding. No, same question. Everett Melagoti, do you think that the Plymouth Police Department has a problem with use of force?
I would like to echo all of my colleagues. I don't believe that they have a problem with use of force. I think that our police department is a very open and transparent and accountable department that has very high accolades and is respected throughout the community. I would like to say that at some times there are incidents that happen, but that's an issue with many departments, and it has nothing to do with the caliber of people that we have in there, and we do have a high caliber. I believe that anything that happens within the community, they try and create a consensus approach to it that looks at both parties, looks unbiased at everything that goes on, and comes up with a solution that's beneficial to everyone.
Now, what about defunding or reallocation of funds to the police department? Does that need to be looked at?
I would say absolutely not. I know that myself and others within town meeting look at efficiencies within it, but that has nothing to do with defunding any aspect of the department. I believe that the funding in some areas is inadequate for what the police department needs to do, and other areas it could be slimmed to account for that, but it has nothing to do with eradicating personnel or all that. We spent multiple years trying to rebuild the department back up to a level staffing that it used to have, I believe, if I remember, was the early 2000s when we started to cut not just police but some other departments as well. I, like my colleague, Mr. Mahoney, was in opposition to the adding of the incremental 9 officers for the same exact reasons, but I don't believe that cutting any part of the budget that would affect the police force is necessary.
Thank you very much again. That was Everett Malagudi with that question. I'm going to...
Two officers,
that's right. Can you name them?
So besides the ones that were mentioned by the two incumbent selectmen, I can't name any off of the top of my head besides, and I don't want to sound unbiased. I mean, I want to sound unbiased, but not biased by it. My grandfather was a former police officer in the town of Plymouth, Robert Spencer.
Okay. Thank you very much. Charles Mathewson.
I miss him showing up at public comment.
Yes. Yeah. Christine?
Yes.
Carl Dittmars. Smart, tough, and very honest. Bob Shaw is one of the best writers in Plymouth, and he writes police reports. Okay.
Little editorial comment here on our forum. Go for it.
Those are my two. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I think that one of the things that is... that has and is still really affecting town politics is the pro-mayor movement. So I want to ask, starting with Everett Malagudi, are you pro-mayor or pro-town meeting?
Well, you know, I've been on the fence with this for a while. I've looked at the pros and cons of each, especially during the last two times that it came about during charter commissions and during... during an election for a change for that. I don't believe we need a mayor. I think that the town is more accountable having a multiple voice approach instead of a singular approach. I know that having a mayor in some people's eyes is looking at it as the point person, the accountability factor, and in some respect, I admit that that can be the case. But I think that also eliminates a lot of the public voice of the citizens to have their say within town politics and how they would like the town to be run. So I would say that town meeting can have some efficiencies made to it, but I don't support a mayor.
Okay, a quick follow-up. You're a town meeting rep from North Plymouth. Some precincts have blanks on the ballot. People... seats that have no candidates. What would you do to strengthen town meeting?
So I actually brought this up during the last charter commission, and I know that I may lose some points for this, but I believe it's meant to be said that I think that the size of town meeting needs to be reduced on the per precinct for the amount of members per each precinct. I know that having larger amounts in some eyes is seen as a larger, diverse one, and you can have that. But to get more people into politics, you need to have in terms turnover of some seats, not to eradicate people that are well-vested in the community that have a voice of the citizens, but to allow other people to come in and have a vigorous campaign for all of them to vie for seats. I think that just having people come in, one, allows more people in it, but I think that you need to have better turnover and a smaller size.
Thank you very much.
John Mahoney, same question. What can we do to strengthen town meeting? And I may as well give you the follow-up.
Well, you got those questions reversed, don't you? Wasn't the follow-up now the first one?
Say whatever you want, John.
So...
we do.
We don't delve into social issues at the local level. So everything you do at the local level is 99.9% financial. Okay. In my opening comments, I talked about how the bonding agencies down in Lower Manhattan, they evaluate all the communities, all the states' financial performance. They gave you a promotion. Everything I do is based on how are you handling the U.S. taxpayers' dollar in a responsible long-term manner. So the question with respect to this is, and I've asked dozens of individuals, if you're going to change your form of government, can you cite one example of how the community's finances will improve? Dozens of individuals. I should be asking for five. I should be asking for at minimum three. I'm asking for one. Nobody has given me an answer. I am hearing, the group that's going on here, I am hearing anti-democratic, anti-capitalist, and anti-U.S. Constitution, and anti-American worker statements coming out of a handful of these people. It really scares the hell out of me what I'm hearing from some of these individuals. Yeah, the pro-mayor group. I stood in a forum a year ago this month. I had an individual get up and make a speech and said there will be a change of government in 2 years. We've already handpicked the mayor. We're going to install this person, and then we're going to control that person. And they said their financial policies were going to be scorched earth and basically regressive socialism. So that's the question. Can you explain to me how the community's finances improve? Because there's only one level, Charlie, above AA+, and that's AAA. And there's only 28 of those communities in Massachusetts. That's about 8%. And that's Weston, Boston, Lexington, Duxbury, Hingham, Falmouth. It's really an exclusive club. So that is what I will be saying. That's the question going forward.
Okay, what about town meeting? How can it be?
Well, when you talk about the vacancies this year, I think a lot of that is COVID-related. A lot of these people got knocked on their feet. They got knocked over, and, it's talking about, getting out of their norm with respect to going to town hall and being able to pass on their signatures and get on the ballot. So this was kind of a curveball for a lot of these people. And, yeah, there are some vacancies, but I think you need to look at the vacancies and, is it a larger amount than prior years or was it the same amount? Because I think some of it's COVID-related.
Betty, are you pro-mayor or pro-town meeting?
I'm actually pro whatever the residents decide they want. I like town meeting. I think it gets a little cumbersome with 135 members. I wish that the selectmen had more control over town management. So if it was a mayor, then, city council could do that. But I think that, all in all, I think we sometimes forget that we are the voice of the people. If people want it on the ballot, we should help them put it on the ballot. And if they vote to, not mayor or stay with the form of government that we have, then I'll adjust either way. And I'm sure they will as well.
And how would you improve town meeting?
I think they should be more involved. I think twice a year is not sufficient to really grasp everything that goes on. And like I said, I don't know if people feel that the 135 town meeting members are too cumbersome, but I love that, we have so many people that do get involved. I just wish they were able to get as much information as the rest of us do.
Frank Mand, are you pro-mayor or pro-town meeting?
Well, I'm very much pro-town meeting. I mean, for me, it's been a revelation since moving to this community about how you can be involved and what level you can be involved in and how your participation can truly be important to the community. I think one of the problems, I'm disappointed in town meeting form of government. I'm disappointed there hasn't been more of a push to have town meeting convene in a safe way. I think government has kind of regressed during the COVID a lot. It's been a reason for a lot of changes suddenly, but I think we haven't been meeting as transparently and as openly as we need to. I think we need to push harder during these times to keep government open and transparent and have civic engagement at the highest level. And so right now I'm disappointed, but essentially what we're getting is a preview of what it would be like to have a council or mayor government, run by few for the few. I want more involvement. I think that's our responsibility.
And how would you improve town meeting?
Well, I think we've been very complacent about it. I mean, we've worried about the machinations of town meeting and what we do on town meeting and what the rules are. But what we should really be doing is celebrating this legacy of civic engagement. And anybody that moves town or is in town should be, the old welcome wagon. Guess what? You're in a town meeting form of government. Bradford and those people started this, and you should be proud. And here's how you can participate. We don't really promote it and celebrate it. And I think we need to do a lot more proactive things to make people realize how lucky they are to be in a community that has so many ways to participate. So I think we need to show the enthusiasm for it, not denigrate it and not get involved in the bureaucracy of it, but celebrate what it's really after and what the goals of it are and what it can accomplish if more people participate.
Kevin Lynch, you're a town meeting representative. Are you pro-town meeting or pro-mayor?
Well, when you ask a question like that, all of a sudden you're telling people to choose sides. I have been on this earth 64 years, and I've learned that what really should happen is have both sides be put on the both issues be put on the table, and then come to a compromise. I like what Everett Malagudi said, whereby you slim down town meeting. I say go from 135 to 75, five town meeting members per precinct instead of nine. We are going to be going to 17 precincts pretty soon. And the other thing is to, be able to go and, once again, to communicate and educate the people of Plymouth. A lot of times they're asking what happened after the decision is made. And I find that very frustrating, very discouraging. And I still have another minute, I think. Yes, no?
You have 10 seconds.
Well, I thought that was there was a pro-town meeting, or how would I improve town meeting?
Yeah, how would you improve town
meeting? I got another minute. Here we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, basically...
Objection.
Oh, give me a break.
I'm kidding.
Here we go. I wrote this saying down. Your system is perfectly designed to give you the results you are getting. And I will tell you, there is... When I talk to people, they're very frustrated. And again, as I said before, is a lot of times decisions are made, and lo and behold, people says, hey, how come we didn't weigh in on it? And even our town meeting members don't know what's going on in their particular precinct. I'm as guilty as the next person. Why? Because we don't communicate properly. I strongly suggest that we do something called a town meeting update. And we do it about every six weeks, whereby a communication is put out there as to the articles we voted on, what is happening to them, and why isn't it happening. Stevensfield is a perfect example. We dropped the ball. And I just can't tell you how many times I just shake my head and says, why are we allowing things to just pass on by? Thank you.
Alan Costello, are you pro-mayor or pro-town meeting?
I'm pro-town meeting. I really... like the fact that my neighbors have the confidence in me to send me down to town hall, discuss, debate, and vote on issues. However, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm part of the committee that is trying to collect enough signatures to get a question on the ballot to at least form a charter commission to review the question. As you said earlier, a city with 60,000 people and $250 million budget requires that you at least look at your options. We're using town meeting now. We've used it for as long as anyone can remember. 400 years, there you go. And I think we'd all be fooling ourselves if we didn't think it would be at least in our best interest to explore the possibility of another form of government.
And how would you, as the chairman of precinct chairs, you're sort of like the Speaker of the House, how would you improve town meeting?
I am. I'll take that role, and I'll tell you right now, I'm very disappointed when I saw the list of vacancies for the different precincts. It saddened me because I enjoy town meeting. I want to chalk it up to the fact that a lot of people out there feel that it's a rubber stamp group. It's a group that doesn't have a lot of teeth. You might vote on something. It doesn't get followed through by the executive branch or the town management branch. And people get frustrated. We allocated money for Whitehorse Beach restrooms, Stevens Field, a host of other projects. They get nowhere. The jobs are not done. They sit idly by. We've paid triple for roofs. We've paid triple for boilers. because the executive branch does not listen to town meeting and go forth with our decisions. Thank you.
All right.
This is from our Plymouth correspondent.
Rebuttal?
About what?
Well, numerous things that Mr. Costello said. I'm sorry, we'll leave it alone.
Okay.
I'll handle any rebuttal.
Okay. Going to have some hostile witnesses here, too, in just a minute.
You'll leave time at the end.
There right? you go. That's right. We'll leave time at the end. You'll all be able to get in whatever you want to say. Now, this is from our Plymouth correspondent, Bobby Clark. And she writes, because of the budget cuts, monetary sacrifices on the part of some town employees will have to be made, and pink slips will go out. Question, should all town employees, including management, share in the financial sacrifice by renegotiating contracts to reduce salaries, including that of the town manager? Let's start with you, John Mahoney. You're anxious to talk.
You have to extend this forum by an hour, Christine. And Mr. Malaguti, I'm not happy with you. You got out of Plymouth North in 06. My stepdaughter did, too.
You've got 1 minute.
All right, so you've got two variables up in the air here that we don't know about, okay? So right now you have $2.9 million that the school committee and the select board has, quote-unquote, taken out of the budget, but they really haven't. The majority of that is accounted for by not backfilling vacant positions as we currently stand here. We have a situation where we're being told by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that we're only going to have 10 children in a classroom in the fall. The average size of the classroom in Plymouth right now is 20. Okay, we have insufficient human resources, supplies, and U.S. dollars. Okay, so why are we cutting back when we don't have the clear direction from the Commonwealth of what is required from us to provide a public education in the fall? And then on top of that, what is the federal government going to do with the HEROES Act? They're batting. This is the biggest political football in D.C. probably in the last 10 to 20 years. And if we don't get any funding at the community, state level, there's going to be millions of more people unemployed.
Okay, but you still didn't answer the basic question.
What's the question?
Should people's salaries be renegotiated, including the town manager?
Listen, if the HEROES Act doesn't go through, from top to bottom, it's going to be catastrophic.
Okay, thank you. You answered the question. Let's go to Ellen Costello. Same question.
I apologize. Could you repeat the question just quickly?
Sure. Okay. Should all town employees, including management, share in the financial sacrifice by renegotiating contracts to reduce salaries, including that of the town manager?
I think you have to look at that. At this time, I think the timing is critical. We don't know a great deal about how long we're going to be in this funk and when we may get out of it. The select board made a move to reduce the budget. How many positions that is on the town side, I believe, is in the 30s. The school side might be 60. But I'm not down there every day. But what I'm hearing is we could take care of a lot of that on positions that are unfilled at this time. I think the timing was very poor to furlough people 3-4 weeks ago. And if we have to move to a point where cuts have to be made, I think you're right. I think it has to be equally across the board. Thank you.
Okay. Same question, Everett Malaguti.
So, yes, in some respects, I would believe that we would need to look at contracts and have it done, but I don't want to put it on the regular entry-level employees or even the mid-level employees. I think that if we want to look at cuts, I believe it should be a top-down approach. It needs... And while our department heads and our town manager do their job at controlling the town, I believe that if they want to show the rest of their employees that work under them that they appreciate them and respect them, I believe that it is their responsibility to be the first ones to accept a pay cut to show that they actually want to help them and not just save face. I believe that eliminating positions that are not filled is another way that could be done, but I believe that it should be an open approach to have everyone looked at to have responsibility. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to Kevin Lynch. Same question.
Very simple. Yes. Again, leaders lead by example. And in order for them to show the people that they are overseeing, they should take that cut, and it should be across the board. And it will really show how much they value being in this town, which is so unique. So very simple, yes.
Okay. Betty Cavaco, same question.
Could you repeat it?
Okay. And the question is, in what about with the, hold on 1 second, let me get the exact wording. Should all town employees, including management, share in the financial sacrifice by renegotiating contracts to reduce salaries, including that of the town manager?
Well, I have really no interest in, you know, hurting an employee that's making $20 an hour and paying $600 a month on for health insurance. So the contracts that we have, I say no. As far as the town manager and maybe upper management, I would say yes.
Okay, thank you. Same question. Let's go to Frank Mand.
Can you repeat the question again?
Should all town employees, including management, share in that financial sacrifice by renegotiating contracts to reduce salaries, including that of the town manager?
You know, I don't want to get into a kind of, you know, punitive situation where we say, you know, you've got to cut because this person cut, or we're going to cut across the board because that's fair. Because what I think is really fair is that we assess what the community's priorities are, and if it comes to the point that we need to make cuts, it's got to be that we preserve those priorities. So we preserve teachers and we preserve public safety and we probably enhance our public health department. We do those things because those are our priorities, not to save face or make a political move or take, you know, punitive action against people we think are overpaid. It could be, though, that when we make that analysis, that in the end, what we say is, well, you're the one that's making the most money and is the least needed for the functioning of our priorities now. So it could be that the town manager and other high-paid people are asked to sacrifice. But first, let's make those tough decisions. Let's say what our priorities are, and that's how we make these decisions.
Thank you very much. Charles Mathewson, question?
You want me to ask a question?
Yes, yes. That's usually how this runs.
Yeah. Possibly the biggest challenge that the town faces and its government faces is increasing property taxes. Let's find someone in town that says, yeah, I want to pay more in property taxes. Combined with the lack of commercial development and a residential boom, we seem to be way out of whack on the percentage of commercial to residential property, and we have damn little potential commercial property. So how specifically would you address this? I'm going to go to John first because I know he has an answer ready.
The community of Plymouth has essentially flattened the curve with respect to this issue. You've added $8 billion of residential tax base since the early 70s. You have another $5 to $8 billion in the queue. I had a former colleague who asked, how would we go about diversifying the tax base? So 5 years ago, Lynn Barrett came in, did a presentation to the board, and said, you need to do two things.
That's the director of finance.
Director of Plymouth Finance. You need to do two things. You need to put a moratorium on residential development from that point in time until the end of time. Okay? And then you needed $1 billion to fall from the sky that day. And that might move the needle. One percentage point. Currently, your residential tax base is 82%. If you want to maintain that at 82% over the next 20 years, you need to add 12 to 18 nuclear power plants. Stop lying to the Massachusetts taxpayer. Stop misleading them. Stop stealing their money, okay? We want industrial commercial development for three reasons and three reasons only. Thank sustainable jobs,
that's
sustainable jobs,
okay.
Sustainable jobs.
That was John Mahoney. Betty Cavaco.
Yes, could you repeat the question?
I was waiting for you. How do you rebalance?
Can I just interrupt you? I think you're too close to the mic because all I'm hearing is like, you know, like I can barely understand you.
Okay.
Like everybody. I'm sorry.
How specifically would you balance commercial and residential so that we have a less of a residential boom and less of a commercial dead zone?
Well, honestly, our commercial development is only like 10 or 11%. So that's not sustainable for the taxpayer. Quite frankly, I'm a proponent of a moratorium right now for residential building. I'm not saying that, you know, it could be someone that wants to build one or two houses or single family house here and there. But for all these developments that are coming in, you know, I think we need to take a step back, and we need to concentrate on commercial development. Now, how we attract them is actually an issue. And I would like to see, you know, if there is a possibility that maybe we could offer some type of incentive to bring businesses into Plymouth, whether it's tax base reduction or whatever, for, you know, a number of 1 year, 2 years or whatever. But I think until we do something to kind of flip the script, we just have to, like, stop this commercial residential building.
Betty Cavaco. Okay.
Let's zig then zag. Frank Mand, how do you balance commercial and residential?
I think we have to do something very different than we've been doing. I think we've been kind of down on our knees pleading with people to come to Plymouth when what we really have is a place that they should want to be. I think we do have a place they want to be. I think we've got, you know, 37 miles of coastline and beautiful trees and historic legacy. So why aren't they coming to town? I think in a lot of ways we give them a mixed message about who we are. We have a kind of grab bag of businesses in our industrial zones and other places. But I think we have, and I've said this before, a real strength in both the green and blue technologies. We have a wonderful nautical history, fishing industry, and we have an unbelievable group of environmentalists. We have Manomet located in our town, an international environmental firm. And I think if we identified what our strengths are, that those environmental and blue ocean technologies, and made that who we appeal to, then we could get high-paying jobs, good jobs, permanent jobs in the areas we want them to be.
Thank you. Everett Malagudi, same question.
So I would like to echo what both Selectman Cavaco and Selectman Mahoney said, that I believe that we do need, in one essence, to slow down the residential boom that we had, whether it be a moratorium or better sustainable practices for village open space development or other priorities that bring more efficient use to the land as well as the tax base. For the commercial side, I don't think that using tax incentives or TIFs are a great way to go, as they gave us in the town Walmart and entities like that, which aren't high-paying taxpayers and also sometimes are a burden on the taxpayers due to use of public services. I believe that using the industrial parks to our fullest extent is the best way to get more commercial taxes that don't impact the residents and put less burden on them. But also it needs to be a streamlined permitting process to help these businesses come into the community, which has been lacking and has been discussed by multiple developers that want to bring entities into the town.
Kevin Lynch, same question.
Well, I'll tell you, I have been listening to this question be batted around over the past 6 years, and we are no closer to any sort of resolution. There's nothing, crystallizing and coming concrete. And it kind of like, I like Mr. Mahoney. He's very quick with a lot of his information. And I like that because that's the reality. But yet I like others, perhaps, that do the save the environment, et cetera. So there's no real answer. At the same time, is even asking the question, you're looking for a soundbite to make us feel better. And there's nothing there that you can make us feel better. So how do we do it? It's got to go back down to collaboration and get the extreme from one extreme to the other, and then get something concrete within 3 months.
Alan Costello, I've bookmarked this with you on the other end of the line from John, because I know this is a big issue for you.
It's a huge issue. We can't continue with a commercial tax base as anemic as we have here in Plymouth. It's gone down 10% in the last 10 years to just record lows. It's a multi-pronged fix, I believe. A few people have said it. Planning, zoning, procedure, permitting procedure has to be streamlined, has to be made attractive for companies that wish to relocate in Plymouth. And then the other thing that I think is a little bit out of the box, and I think someone has to do it because what we're doing presently isn't working, is someone has to go out and court regional and national companies at expos and trade shows and introduce them to Plymouth. Let them know if they had any future plans to relocate or to put a facility in the Northeast, Plymouth would work for them. And I'd be willing to do that. I think we have to go out there and grab the commercial tax rate payer. It's imperative for the taxpayer. It's not going to be able to be sustainable if we don't do something soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Christine, I believe you have a question.
Yes, I have. I have several. I wish I could get these all in. We'd be here for hours tonight. In the fire department, about 5 months ago, with the very bad and unsafe conditions of the town's fire department buildings making the news, some literally crumbling, finally seemed to make it to the priority list with the current situation. Describe your plan to fund the repairs and replacement of the stations. This issue that we've been covering for years has just been kicked down the road for years, and those buildings are falling apart. I remember talking to the chief one morning when he was operating, and you do have one of the best fire chiefs on the South Shore, hands down. That's just my editorial comment from being here for 30 years. Was on a laptop in his car running this huge department because, as I remember, all the building detritus and plaster had crumbled down into their work and living spaces. How can you take care and fix this problem that's been happening for years in Plymouth, Frank Mand?
Well, I mean, people have spoken about the need for greater, more efficient, and better staffed facilities management. I mean, the horse is out of the horse is out of the barn already in this regard. We can do that going forward, but it's not going to resolve what is a very big budget item now. I mean, I was listening recently to the discussion of the Board of Select Persons about whether or not we would fund in this coming budget, fiscal 21. The effort to come back and start to address those situations, start to rebuild the headquarters and fix up some of the other places. And it's already being considered as one of the areas to target for cuts in anticipation of revenue losses. So I think it's a very difficult issue because we're trying to avoid many other financial deficits that are coming our way, bills that are becoming due, and yet fit this in as well. So it's going to take a lot of creativity. I think we have a great chief, as you said, who's hung on to keep leading that department, and I think he's willing to. Sorry.
Thanks. Okay, let's. Same question, Kevin Lynch. We've got some concrete ideas here about how to fix the situation.
The best I can do is say that you fix up the stations you do have. You stop. As far as looking for a brand spanking new fire department headquarters, because the people are getting crushed by the tax burden. And that would be an override vote, which I don't think would pass anyway. But I find it somewhat puzzling that that the firemen can stay in their fire station and not see it crumbling down around them. And why is it that these requests have not been actually addressed years ago? Why is it a crisis now? It didn't come upon us quickly, and we should have addressed it, and we should have been proactive years ago. Thank you.
Same question, Alan Costello.
I remember that period of time when I watched Fox 25 News and was, again, very disappointed. I hadn't been told as a town meeting rep how bad the stations were in, how bad the buildings were in. But again, as I spoke earlier, some of these fixes had been approved by town meeting years ago at a very small price tag in relation to what they are now costing us. But because they were not executed by the town management,
These problems were allowed to fester and become 3 and 4 times what they would have cost originally. What we have to do is we have to bite the bullet. We have to start carving out some money and incrementally fixing the existing stations and put a facilities department back together that takes care of them. We cannot allow the neglect that has happened over the last 10, 12 years to continue. We have to get back on track with it. Thank you. Okay.
Let's go to John Mahoney. Same question.
So we have a problem as Americans. We do a horrific job with respect to infrastructure. And in the town of Marshfield, Massachusetts, you saw on a 2.5 override a few months ago for $50 million. So bonded over 30 years with interest, you're looking $90 to $100 million for a seawall, new fire police station, Council on Aging building, and a DPW annex. That didn't happen yesterday. That was decades of neglect. We do a poor job. Okay, when you talk about the diversification in commercial industrial base, the problem is you have a failed fiscal dogma of general fund socialism. So all these individuals, you know, that are in this race, are probably aside from Ms. Cavaco, okay, ultimately, you can't put all your new revenue into the general fund. A properly funded infrastructure fund of $3.5 million a year, okay, will prevent property taxes from going up anywhere from $300 million to $1 billion over the next 50 years and replace the majority of your fire stations and schools without raising property taxes.
Thank you very
That's
much.
That's outside the box thinking, Christine.
Okay, there you go. Same question, Betty Cavaco.
Well, I have to say that I was a huge advocate of the facilities manager, and we really need to, like, fully fund that department and really just let them do their jobs. I would love to see a facilities as a standalone department, and I would actually love to see them under the school department, because it seems like the school department does a really good job. Right now, our facilities department is non-existent. We don't have a facilities manager. We don't have an operations manager. We had an HVAC tech. He quit after a month. We don't have an electrician. It's just something's wrong, and we need to make some tough decisions and try to fix it.
Okay. Same question, Everett Malagudi.
So I would like to say that unlike the rest of the town, I am privileged as a member of the North Plymouth community that through a prudent approach, we are going to be opening a new fire station for the North Plymouth community. Due to age and antiquity of the old fire station, but not as of neglect until we found out the Fox News report about the floor and asbestos within our beloved facility.
I hope you were listening to WATD because we had that story too. Sorry, just got to make a plug.
But I would like to say that I think we need to have a whole overhaul approach at how we maintain the buildings of this town and not just let projects go by the wayside and use funding that was appropriated to fix those at the get-go as just partial Band-Aid approaches. I think that Mr. Mahoney is right that we do need to segregate funds out of the general fund, but we need to look at how to do that. We could use the surplus funds that are from selling buildings. We could also use the funds from the marijuana tax.
Thank you very much, Everett Malagudi. Charles Matthews, some question for the candidates.
I'm going to pick on Kevin Lynch's favorite topic, and that's communication. We've noticed in the last few months that the town manager has really changed the way that she communicates. The town manager reports are online. Now, when I was editor of the OCM, people used to call and say, why didn't you do a story on such and such, you know, and would say, well, we did 3 of them in the last month. It's really difficult to get word out about an issue. What do you think the town ought to do?
I don't mean to stop you there, but since we have such a large crew, we're going to go to the lightning round and ask them in this context, and then we're going to go to closing statements. Okay. So if you want to reformat that question.
No, I don't. I want to ask a lightning round question.
Okay. All right.
Jeez.
All right, 2 sentences.
What quantitative quarantine adjustment in your life do you hope to continue, Frank Mand?
Every morning I read poetry after breakfast, and it's become wonderful to go through. I'm a real fan of poetry, and so...
Two sentences, lightning.
It's wonderful.
Okay.
Kevin Lynch.
Well, communication from our creator, Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs, and I think there's 31. I'm only right now just reading it.
Okay, but
here
just
we have
two sentences.
Proverbs 17, and just go through
two
every
sentences.
Every
lightning.
Day.
Lightning.
Thank you.
I hope... Alan Costello, what quarantine change in your life would you hope to continue?
I see it as a positive. I hope that Zoom meeting sticks, especially in this region, inclement weather. I think it's perfect for certain meetings.
Two sentences, fine. Yep.
Mr. Malaguti.
Well, I would like to have what everyone has, but unfortunately, I've been incredibly busy with work as a driver and a worker at Squinney's restaurant where I reside, and I had no free time in the past.
Okay. Lightning.
John?
I've taken more walks with my mother, obviously with appropriate distancing in the last 90 days than I had in the prior 20 years.
Okay.
And Betty Cavaco.
Well, I also love these Zoom meetings, but what is so nice about it is that I've really had a lot more time to spend with my husband and kids, which you don't realize how much you're out of the house until you're in the house.
Okay. So,
and we get to watch your cats.
There you go. This was sent in by Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi, another lightning round question. Does the town have enough resources to endure a second COVID-19 surge? Yes or no, and you can do a sentence or two to explain. John Mahoney.
No.
Okay. Everett Malaguti?
No.
Okay. Alan Costello?
I would say yes.
Okay. Frank Lynch?
Kevin Lynch,
Kevin,
yes.
I'm sorry. Why do I keep calling you Frank? I know a Frank Lynch. I'm sorry. Kevin
Must
Frank
Must be a
good-looking Lynch.
Guy. Yes, with the town does have the money with cuts.
Okay.
I don't think it's money you're after. The resources, luckily, BID is in town. But we really need to reinvest in our public health department if we're going to be able to withstand this.
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Does the town have enough resources to withstand a second surge COVID-19?
No.
Okay.
Betty.
No, but it could change if we have more help from the federal government and we know what's coming.
Okay. Charlie, another lightning round question, then we're going to go to closing statements.
Okay, Betty, what have you read or watched during the quarantine?
Let's see. I've watched the 12 o'clock show every day with Chairman Tavares and company and our state rep, Matt Mortori. I've watched all of
Remember,
Ozark.
This is lightning. Okay. That's okay. We're all set here.
John Mahoney.
Thank you.
I've been fortunate where I've stayed working throughout the whole thing.
Okay.
I'm 40 pages into The Heart of Darkness.
Okay, thank you. Everett Malaguti. Remember, this is lightning, folks, quick like a bunny.
In my busy and boring life, I had basically the selectmen's meetings and other meetings to keep me occupied.
Alan Costello.
I read The Mayflower by Philbrook.
Okay. Mr. Lynch.
Just select board meetings, viewing them.
Okay, Frank.
Apart from poetry, been reading a lot of things, but I've seen so many Netflix films that I'm now watching Icelandic films in translation.
Okay, and I have to ask this because I ask this at every single forum, and you know what it is, yes or no, county government, stay or go?
No.
Let's start. I didn't even ask you that yet, John. Let's start on this end. Frank Mann.
Let's get those $90 million, and then we can get rid of them.
Yes or no. Okay. Kevin Lynch.
Stay with limitations.
Okay. Alan
stay.
Costello. Okay. Everett?
Stay.
Okay. John?
No.
Okay.
Betty.
Go now.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to closing statements now. We could do this for another hour, but I know that's sometimes it's just you don't want to have too much of a good thing here. But let's go to closing statements. We're going to reverse the order that we started in tonight with the race for Plymouth Select Board. So we are going to start with Everett Malaguti. 1 minute, please, remember.
So with everything discussed tonight, I hope I brought out the qualities that I have as a candidate for selectmen, my experience on town meeting and multiple committees. I believe that I have the attributes to fulfill this position to the best of my abilities for the citizens. And I hope that you graciously vote for me during the election on June 20th. And thank you so much for having us tonight.
Thank you very much. That was Everett Malaguti. Now let's go to Frank Mand.
Hello, this is Frank Mand asking for your other vote. If you like Betty's style, give me the other for substance. If you like John's politics, give me the other for community. If you like Dickie's vegetables, try my fresh ideas. If you like Kevin's beard, well, I can't compete with that. There are a lot of reasons why people choose a candidate in a local election, and most of them are personal. They're from your neighborhood or in your party, or it's a name you recognize. Choose me, Frank Mann for select person, because I'm serious about getting our town to prosper in every way. That means preserving what's best and fighting what's wrong. That means keeping control of expenses and growth while working to maintain our character and special quality of life, all of which will make Plymouth far more attractive to the right kinds of business. One vote can make a difference. Your vote can make a difference. I think I can make a difference. Vote Frank, actually Francis Mand, for select person on June 20th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Frank Manna. Let's go to Kevin Lynch.
Yes. Again, I'll come back to my theme of communication. And, you know, again, a scripture verse says, Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. There is a ton of people out there saying, why are these things not being communicated before decisions made? And why can we not collaborate within the decision-making process? A few means of communication would be have the select board, have a regular select board salutation, so keep people up to date. Town meeting update for them to have a publication to let people know within their precincts as well as throughout the town. Lastly, a nice little thing, and you know, this thing, the internet, computers. Why can't we have throughout town town bulletin boards whereby people can go up and says, hey, did you see this? It could be maintained by the town meeting members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Kevin Lynch. Let's go to Alan Costello.
Okay, again, I'd like to thank WATD for the forum. I'd also like to thank the other candidates. It was a very good forum. Again, my name is Alan Costello, and I am a candidate for select board on June 20th. These are challenging times, and I understand that a town election may not be a high priority for residents at this time. However, the ramifications of this pandemic are going to require a new course of action to lead the town back into better times. In closing, there may never have been a more challenging time in Plymouth's long history as we are now facing. If you are content with the status quo, I may not be your candidate. However, if you desire change, be sure to cast a vote for Costello on June 20th. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Alan Costello. Now let's go to John Mahoney.
I want to thank WATD and Christine and Charlie for hosting this event. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to get up here to Marshall. I want to thank all of the candidates in the race, especially two of them. I've been on the select board in Plymouth for 12 years. It's been an honor to serve with Elizabeth Cavaco and also Mr. Richard Quintal. You have two votes this Saturday coming up. I'm asking for one of your two votes. I have been the fiscal agent of change in the last decade, working collaboratively with, like I said, town meeting, FinCom, and my colleagues. We've improved. We've done probably more infrastructure investment in this community in the last decade than they have done in years. And moving forward, I know exactly what needs to be done, and I'm ready to hit the ground on day one. You know, God willing, I get another term. And if you ever have any questions, don't be afraid to reach out to me, you know, via Facebook, moving forward into Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was John Mahoney. Now let's go to Betty Cavaco.
First and foremost, I stand with the families of Plymouth. Our property taxes have become a burden to most residents and a source of fear about the future for many. To that end, we have to examine our budgetary and tax structures and how they impact all residents to determine new and better policies. Town government has to focus on commercial development over residential. I also want to change the way the town does business. This includes consolidating town and school functions. We must also eliminate our dependence on consultants and outside lawyers. Change also must include accountability. Currently, it appears that no one in town management is held accountable for anything. How can we improve our town if best practices are not encouraged, mistakes are buried instead of learned, from the problems are hidden and left to fester? You know me as a doer, and not a talker. These are my priorities, and I hope you'll support me this Saturday, June 20th.
Thank you very much. That was Betty Cavanco. You've been listening to the candidates here for Plymouth Select Board. Betty Cavanco, John Mahoney, Ellen Costello, Kevin Lynch, Frank Mann, and Everett Malaguti. Dickie Quintal couldn't be here tonight. I'm Christine James, your moderator. Charles Mathewson asking questions along with me. Amy Leonard timing everything out so beautifully. And Larry Nelson, our operations manager and chief engineer here, pulling everything together. The election is June 20th. We say it for every political forum. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Get out there and do it. This whole forum will be up on our website as well as selected cuts during tomorrow's morning drive news. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD. Good evening.